Daughter. Are there further guests for introduction? Representative Herman.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce a few participants in the Alaska Native Leadership Program. Cameron James. Pauline Halkett. Rena Trosen. Judy Ramos. And Steve Guinness.
Further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
The Senate has approved the following citations, and they are transmitted for consideration. Honoring Merrily Hill by Senators Bennett and Fahrenkamp. Honoring Amy Harms by Senators Bennett and Fahrenkamp. The Senate has passed Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 10 and is transmitted for consideration. Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 10, Resources, by the Resources Committee. Requesting rejection and renegotiation of the proposed United States-Canada Salmon Interception Treaty.
The Resources Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 10 is referred to the Special Committee on Fisheries and the Resources Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Judiciary has had House Concurrent Resolution 11. Am I coming across? Okay. Relating to the use of petty jurors of earphones under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Barnes, Wente, Clarkson, Liska, and Bussell. House Concurrent Resolution Number 11 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had House Concurrent Resolution 16 relating to hepatitis B under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by the co-chairman, Fritz and Tischer, signing do pass, Kopanen, Cato, M.W. Miller, Tischer, and Fritz. House Concurrent Resolution Number 16 has no further referral. The Committee on Transportation is at House Bill 74, a special appropriation to the City of Nenana for rehabilitation of the Tanana River dock and waterfront facilities under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Cato, chairman, concurred in by Abood, M.W. Miller, Locker, Phillips, and Cato. Having no recommendation, Herman. House Bill 74 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is at House Bill 152, a supplemental appropriation to the Miscellaneous Services account under consideration, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 152, CNRA, same title, and that it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mrs. Locker, Chairman, concurred in by Fritz McBride, Clarkson, Phillips, and Locker. Having no recommendation, Tischer. House Bill 152 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is at House Bill 153, a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Revenue for financial assistance to municipalities under consideration, recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mrs. Locker, Chairman, concurred in by Fritz McBride, Phillips, and Locker. Having no recommendation, Tischer and Clarkson. House Bill 153 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Transportation has had House Bill 190, a special appropriation for payment as a grant to the cities of Non-Dalton and New Wayland for road construction under consideration, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 190, Transportation, with a new title, recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mrs. Cato, Chairman, concurred in by Abood, Herman, M.W. Miller, Locker, Phillips, and Cato. House Bill 190 has a further referral to Finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
House Bill 207, by the Rules Committee, by request of the Legislative Council for the Blue Ribbon Commission on the State Personnel Act, an act placing emergency guards employed by the Department of Public Safety in the exempt service.
House Bill 207 is referred to the State Affairs and Finance Committees.
House Bill 208 by Duncan, Clarkson, Kopanen, M.M. Miller. An act establishing a small business development loan program and providing for an effective date.
House Bill 208 is referred to the Special Committee on Loans, Labor and Commerce, and Finance.
House Bill 209 by Bussell. an act placing emergency guards employed by the Department of Public Safety in the exempt service.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 210 by Schultz, an act relating to payment for purchases by the state, excuse me, and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 211 by Furness, Abood, Barnes, Cowdery, Flood, Hurlburt, Martin, Phillips, Ringstead, Euling, and Hayes, an act relating to contracts for architectural engineering and land surveying services and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and Judiciary.
House Bill 212 by Pestinger and Clarkson, an act relating to crime victim compensation and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary and Finance.
House Bill 213 by M.N. Miller, Duncan, and Larson, an act relating to state retirement systems and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
Citation in memoriam, Clement Serra, by Representative Vasca.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring in memoriam Clement Serra pass the body.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. This brings us to the end of today's calendar to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Locker be excused from the call of the House, February the 18th through February 20th.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the member will be excused as requested. Further unfinished business to come before the body. Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 112, an act relating to the maintenance and improvement of health facilities, be waived from the State Affairs Committee and go directly to Health, Education, Social Services, and then Finance.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the State Affairs waiver of House Bill 112 is approved. Is there further unfinished business to come before the body? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Contrary to your printed calendar today, there will be a joint CNRA committee meeting with the Senate. It will be in the Buntrovich Room at 3:15, and we will hear the annual report of the Local Boundary Commission.
Further committee announcement, Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Labor and Commerce Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 to 10 in general work session. Second announcement, the Finance Subcommittee on Education will meet this afternoon from 3 to 5 in room 209 in the Barron's Building.
Representative Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Transportation Committee will meet tomorrow morning in work session, taking up HB 68, an act relating to the Marine Authority.
Further announcement, Representative Euling.
Yes, the Special Committee on State Loans, there will be no meeting for this week, but next week we'll be hearing two bills on Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the Resources Room, and that's HB 15, an act relating to the eligibility for commercial fishing loans, and also an act, HB 180, an act relating to the eligibility for veterans' interest rates on loans. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, just a reminder to the members that the Older Alaskans Commission will be holding a reception in honor of the legislature in the Buntrovich Room from 4:30 to 6 p.m. today. And I'm not sure that all the members received notice of this. Perhaps it was sent to some homes or something, but the ANB, Alaska Native Brotherhood and Alaska Native Sisterhood, will be holding their annual reception for legislators this evening at the ANB Hall, starting at about 7:30. And I particularly invite all members to attend. This is always a very, very pleasurable gathering. A lot of home-cooked foods and that sort of thing, not the usual type of reception, and always very enjoyable. So I particularly invite members to attend that at the ANB Hall.
Representative Herman.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to announce that today's Special Committee on Fisheries has been canceled due to lack of quorum, and that Monday there will be no joint meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries and the House Resources Committee.
Representative Abood, to which the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Susitna hydroelectric projects in the form of House Bill 120, 121, 122 will continue their the dialogue in the State Affairs at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Are there further announcements? Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Juneau Home Builders Auxiliary Get Acquainted Potluck will be this evening. Cocktails will be from at 6 p.m., dinner at 7 p.m. The place, the Yacht Club. If you need transportation, please call Julia at 789-9767 or Dorothy at 789-9143. And Mr. Speaker, continuing a tradition I have recently established, and since we will not be in session tomorrow, I think it's important to note that one of our members will have a birthday tomorrow, one that we've always attempted to try to celebrate here on the House floor and in the caucus room with all the festivities that we could muster, because we're all really happy to have him around, and certainly we look forward to keeping him around. And I'd like to ask all of you to join me today in wishing our speaker a happy birthday tomorrow.
Thank you very much. I don't know what to say. I guess the only thing I could say is that is to repeat a famous quote of Representative Abood's, that the alternative to not having a birthday is not nearly as bad as having one. And thank you very much, Representative Barnes and members of the body. Representative Abood.
Speaker Hayes, I wonder if you would relate to the group how old you are, please.
There has been objection. thank you, Representative Copeland. Further announcements? Special orders. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I request the privilege of the floor to speak on games being played by the majority coalition.
You have the floor, Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, if you look at the list of bills that were filed today, you will see three bills that are all but identical to bills that have previously been filed. House Bill 209 is identical, at least the title is, to House Bill 207. House Bill 210 is identical to a bill filed a couple of days ago by the junior member from Juneau. And Mr. Speaker, House Bill 212 is almost identical to a bill I filed several days ago. I am concerned, Mr. Speaker, about the games being played by the majority here in an effort apparently to assure that no bill filed by a member of the minority or by any outside organization such as the Blue Ribbon Commission will pass this body. Mr. Speaker, I think that's petty, and I think it's unfortunate, particularly in light of the governor's speech that you may recall, where he emphasized that he hoped that it would be the policy of this body not to dwell on pride of authorship, but to dwell on the merits of legislation. I suspect we are developing, Mr. Speaker, in the majority coalition, a false pride of authorship that, again, I believe is petty. Now, if it were just that, Mr. Speaker, I suppose we could leave it at that, and I could be just disappointed in my own, in my colleagues for wanting to take some of the credit away from me for coming up with an idea or some other member of the body. It's not just that, Mr. Speaker. It's expensive. It costs the state money to print up these bills. Now, I don't know exactly how much it is, and I'm going to try to find out, because it's happened three times today. It's happened in the past. And it's real silly, and it costs the state of Alaska thousands of dollars to draft those bills, print them up. They're distributed, as you well know, all over the state, and it seems to me that that's not a legitimate use of state money. Now, if you don't like minority bills, maybe you ought to vote them down on the floor or something, but it doesn't seem to me that it's fair to the people of Alaska to waste their money in order that the majority can get credit for something that was somebody else's idea in the first place. Thank you.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the floor to speak on bills?
You have the floor, Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would not like the discussion here to deteriorate into one of saying that people are taking bills that belong to other people. I'd like to relate to you, Mr. Speaker, something that I think will help clear this matter up. Not long ago, I requested that a bill be drafted in legislative affairs. And at that particular time, when my bill was coming back over, my office was called and told that the former speaker, for example, had requested exactly the same bill be drafted. So I asked my staff to ask the former speaker if he would not like to get on the bill that I was having drafted and was going to introduce. I think that people are not really taking other people's ideas, that they're requesting bills be drafted because the idea has come from some group or some agency of state government, and that as the bills come out of legislative affairs, they end up being pretty much the same bill. And I would certainly not like to have anyone presume that the members of the Majority Coalition Caucus are taking bills and putting their names on them simply because another member has introduced them. That's erroneous. No such decision, to my knowledge, has been made, nor do I believe that it would be made. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson,
on the same subject.
You have the floor.
I don't want to prolong this, but that's exactly what I am charging, Mr. Speaker. It's happened several times. The explanation provided by the majority leader does not explain the variety of bills that I am intimately aware of where it's occurred. The only explanation I can come up with that may be some alternative to that is that the members of the majority are not watching bills that are being filed and are filing other bills without knowing what's already been filed. That's just as bad, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson, I noticed today in referring bills that there was duplication, at least even today, and your points are certainly well taken by the Speaker, and I will bring this up to the members of our caucus and ask them to be certain an introduction of bills that others have not been introduced. At least take that into consideration in any event. Further special orders? Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like the privilege of the floor to speak on equity and state policies.
You have the floor, Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, one of the subjects that has received a lot of public attention and debate since the beginning of this legislature is the Alaska Permanent Fund Dividend Program. Mr. Speaker, there's been numerous proposals, some by the governor, some by other people, to repeal the Permanent Fund Dividend Program that was finally instituted last year. Mr. Speaker, I would submit that the legislation that's been submitted on that subject should not pass. Speaker, I think it's a mistake. It's a mistake, first of all, because the effect of repealing the Alaska Permanent Fund Dividend Program is very simple. It's to increase the total spending of state government. It allows the state budget, operating and capital budget, to increase. That's all it does. And I think all of us here are aware that one of the problems that we face today is the size of the state budget and the dependency that our whole state economy has on that budget, as well as the problems that are encountered in the increasing significance of government in people's lives, the actions of government, whether it happens to be building a project somewhere, or whether it happens to be the operation of some function of government that's interfering with people's lives through undue or unfair or incorrectly implemented regulation. Mr. Speaker, I don't think now is the time that we want to increase state spending, and I don't think now is the time we want to repeal the Permanent Fund Dividend Program. It would be worse, Mr. Speaker, if the repeal of that program and the increase of state spending was done under the color of dividends, as some proposals now seek to disguise themselves, because last year, Mr. Speaker, the people of Alaska adopted a spending limit, placing a lid on state spending. And I've heard arguments, believe it or not, that taking the money from the dividend program and using it for various operations of state government makes it exempt from the spending limit. Mr. Speaker, as you know, I didn't agree with that spending limit, but Mr. Speaker, it is part of the Constitution, solemnly adopted by the people of Alaska. It was pointed out previously by the finance chairman that there is a question as to whether some of the spending that's proposed, for example, in the budget submitted to the legislature, is actually in accord with the spending limit adopted by the people of Alaska. If we can do an end run around the Constitution in that fashion, any section of the Constitution, we can do an end run around every section of the Constitution, and I think that none of us here probably are willing to do that. We've taken an oath of office to uphold that Constitution and to carry out what it means. So I think that, first of all, the repeal of the permanent fund dividend program for the purposes of increasing state spending is a mistake, because it increases state spending, and it would be a double mistake and a travesty, in fact, if it were an end run around the spending limit that the people of Alaska enforced on government in the last election. Mr. Speaker, dealing with some of the criticisms of the Alaska Permanent Fund Dividend Program that I've heard, not just in the last year, but since the original program was placed on the books in 1980, that the program is a giveaway program. Mr. Speaker, I don't think that it is a giveaway program. The people of Alaska, in the creation of the Alaska Permanent Fund, and in the deposits of additional funds, additional state monies into the Alaska Permanent Fund since its creation, have done a very rational thing. They have foregone immediate benefits, immediate gratification from the spending of money, so that there would be some sort of permanent and lasting value. And I don't think that when people do that, when they in fact make an investment, that we can call that a giveaway program. And I think that the earnings of the fund should go to the owners of the fund, the people of Alaska. I don't think it's a giveaway program. And for those people that think that the earnings of the fund in the form of dividends are not important to the people of Alaska, I think one place they could look would be at the 1980 census data showing the income levels in a lot of communities in Alaska. We have dozens of communities in this state where the per capita income is below the poverty level. And so I think that the actual earnings themselves are important to many people, and I'll return to that subject in a moment. I've heard criticisms that that nationally it makes us look like fools to have a what people call a giveaway program. I would submit, Mr. Speaker, that the Alaska Permanent Fund is invested productively, not only a portion of it, small portion admittedly, in Alaska, but productively in the whole U.S. economy, so that the nation as a whole, as well as the state of Alaska, is a beneficiary of the capital that the fund represents. And I would say that rather than hearing from our congressmen and from other people that it makes us look foolish, they ought to look at the fact that Alaska is willing to invest billions of dollars in the economy of this country. And I think that that is important today, particularly important when we look at the national recession. Pulling that money out of the national economy is not going to help the national economy. That's a point that hasn't been addressed, but it is a fact. So I don't buy the arguments that national perception should lead us to repeal the dividend program. And I don't buy the arguments that the fund being invested wisely in all sections of the U.S. economy is a mistake. And I think it's time that people on the national level looked at that as well. Speaker, I think that there's another consideration. I think the repeal of the Permanent Fund Dividend Program is a mistake because it lessens people's control over what happens to them. One of the communications of the many that I've received on the permanent fund was a letter from a minister in Anchorage, I don't know the man, Mr. Reverend Richard R. Gay. And I'd like to read his letter, which I believe all legislators have received. He starts out, "Dear Honorable Legislator, this is a personal and professional plea that as you weigh all aspects of the dividend check policy, that you do not fail to take into account what has been done for individuals and families who are known to us in our pastoral relationships. Allow me to cite for you a cross-section of the people who have been helped in a time of emergency, and such needs never cease. The checks work miracles in many situations. For example, a young couple found it possible to make a down payment on a home for their family with two small children. A senior citizen found it possible to arrange for his cataract operation. A young couple found it possible to meet the deductible portion of their health insurance in conjunction with the birth of their child. An individual found it possible to repay a loan from a family member, reducing interpersonal tension. A seriously depressed person found it possible to take a vacation, which was therapeutic. A student found it possible to resume schooling without adding to his loan burden. A family of a stroke victim, only 34 years old, was rescued from overwhelming financial burdens. There were four young children involved. A person whose car is a necessity was able to afford much-needed car repairs. Another person was able to meet closing costs on the purchase of a home for his family. Mr. Gay concludes, this is but a sample of what I have seen the dividend program accomplish. Please remember the human element in your policy deliberations. Speaker, I think it goes deeper even than just the human element. I think it goes to the fundamental points of the responsibility of government in Alaska and in this country today. And that is that I have a confidence, I think probably if they think about it, most people would share that confidence, that people, as individuals, know their own needs and are better able to address those needs than we can ever hope to address those needs through any collective process. So I think that allowing people to meet their own needs and decide what they are is one of the basic goals that a democratic society has, and I think the dividend program's in accord with those goals, and I think it's a reason why it would be a mistake to repeal it. Finally, Mr. Speaker, the of the total messages that I've cataloged in my office so far on the permanent fund dividend program, those cataloged total 101. Out of those, there were three people in favor of repeal of the program, 98 opposing the repeal. And what I'd submit, Mr. Speaker, is that people are speaking out. They are right, and we should listen. I understand that the House Finance Committee and House State Affairs Committee are holding a joint teleconference February 23rd, 1 to 3 p.m., to hear from the people of Alaska. I'd recommend to all members of the House, they encourage their constituents to participate so that the voice of the people can be heard on this subject, and I would urge them to consider the benefits of the dividend program. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, under the same subject.
You have the floor, Representative Phillips.
Up to the point where the former speaker spoke about the permanent fund and the benefits and the merits of it, I would respect that point of view. But up to the point of where the people are spoken, I just want to add that, as most of you know in this body, that every year I send out a questionnaire to my constituents, and I sent out 4,300 questionnaires to households throughout the district. And I got about 1,000 back, and approximately 62% of the people in my district favored the repeal of the permanent fund dividend program. And in the same question, I asked them, what would you do with the money if it's repealed? And a lot of them had various suggestions, some of them in the loan programs, others in capital improvement projects, and still others into the operation budget. So I've got a pretty good indication of what my folks in my district want, and I'll just speak for my own district. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Herman.
Yes, may we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Herman.
Yeah, in Gallery A, I'd like to introduce constituents of mine from the Bristol Bay area, Wasi Baluda, Jim Wilson, Norman Jocko, Gregory Nealon Jr., and Jerry Armstrong.
Representative Abood.
Under introduction of guests, sir.
Representative Abood.
In Gallery B is the commander of the Civil Air Patrol, Colonel Russ Anderson, a good friend of mine, and my ex-boss.
Representative Ward.
Yes, I'd like Commissioner Florida to speak on permanent fund dividends.
You have the floor, Representative Ward.
As the deliberations continue, I'd like everybody in here to take this under consideration. There is a vast majority of Alaskans that do not understand that they currently owe about $1.6 billion in debt. This is money that they owe. If the pipeline was to be cut off today, if the oil would quit flowing, each and every Alaskan citizen, in order to just pay the heat of the appetite of this year's budget that the governor's proposed for capital operating and the others out of the permanent fund dividends, they would have to spend in taxes, they would have to pay the state $9,500 in taxes for every man, woman, and child in the state of Alaska to keep government going. I think that as our deliberation goes, take into consideration that the bonded indebtedness, the points that the distinguished representative from Kenai brought up, every one of those had to do with some form of an indebtedness, whether it was for eye surgery, for paying closing costs, or some other mechanism. For our future children, on what the permanent fund was supposed to accomplish, please consider the fact. Do we leave them with a permanent fund as well as a debt? Because this should be one of the options, is to relieve the debt of the state. Thank you.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak on very shortly on the state debt.
You have the floor, Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in the State Affairs Committee, we are presently considering putting the state further into debt to the tune of $2.5 billion. This is in addition to the $1.6 billion that the prior speaker just spoke of. Indebtedness to the state by the state will be a big responsibility, and I urge members in this body to consider that when you consider voting on House Bills 120 through 122. And also I urge all members to join the State Affairs Committee in listening to what people are actually saying about the Sisseton project and about the debt indebtedness that the state will accrue if in fact this one single project goes through. Thank you.
Are there further special orders? Other business to come before the body? Representative Miller.
Maybe be brief, ladies.
The House, please stand at ease. Correct order. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, with the indulgence of the body, I've just received a citation from the Senate, and with the request that it be treated today. I think there is some time element in because of funerals or something like this. Mr. Speaker, this is a citation in memoriam for Alice E. Stewart. I'd like to move at this time that it be brought up as a special order of business.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is brought up before the body as a special order of business. Representative Miller.
Speaker, since it just arrived moments ago, we've not had a chance to have it distributed. I will, with your permission, I'll read the citation and then place the appropriate motion. Mr. Speaker, regarding Alice E. Stewart, the members of the Alaska legislature were saddened to learn of the death of a noted Alaskan who, during her busy lifetime, contributed unselfishly of her time and energy to help others. Alice E. Stewart, upon graduation from Skagway High School, attended the University of Alaska of Washington, immediately became involved in a students association that devoted much time to operating student housing units. Her commitment to the details of this project was just the beginning of a long lifetime of sharing activities that took her to many parts of the world. She took time to serve on the Valdez City Council and often served as acting mayor. She was a board member of the Valdez Public Library, appointed to the first Alaska State Library Board, and was chairwoman of the Valdez Community Hospital Board. At one time or another, she gave of her time to nearly all the recognized charitable activities, fund drives, and spent 4 years in the Southeast Girl Scout Council and helped organize the Juno Douglas branch of the American Association of University Women. With her husband, she traveled to Laos, and although not required of her, she worked tirelessly, assisting the U.S. Embassy personnel in a variety of capacities designed to enhance the image of the United States in that country. Alice E. Stewart was an active, involved, much-admired Alaskan, always a lady, compassionate and understanding. She had a lasting impact on all those who came to know her. She gave freely of her time and talents, and those lives were touched by her graciousness and will miss her very much. Mr. Speaker, I'll first ask that my name and Representative Duncan's be added as sponsors to this, and then move the adoption of the citation.
Is there objection to the addition of Representative Miller and Representative Duncan as sponsors of the citation? Hearing none, so ordered. There's also the citation has been moved. Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Is there further business to come before the body? Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment till 2 p.m. Monday, February the 21st, 1983.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands adjourned until 2 p.m. Monday.